homeless man, and he was wandering the streets just before Christmas. And he was wandering the streets, and he found a dollar coin in the gutter. And he picked up that dollar coin. He thought, wow, this is fantastic. I've got a dollar coin, and I found it just before Christmas. And he was pondering, what am I going to do with that dollar coin? He was pondering all the things that he could do or maybe buy or, you know, in the lead up to Christmas. And he thought, you know what, I'm going to find some friends and I'm going to buy them a drink. That's what I'm going to do with my dollar. And as he's wandering off to find his friends, he wanders past an op shop. And in the window of that op shop, he sees something, and it catches his attention. And he looks in that window and he sees a baseball bat. And immediately he's taken back to his childhood. He's taken back to the time when he would hit the ball around the backyard with his friends. And he reminisces of the great times that he had. And then he thought, you know what? The emotion overwhelmed him. And he went in and he brought that baseball bat. So here he is. He's a homeless man walking around before Christmas with a baseball bat. Anyway, he's walking down the street with this baseball bat. And he thought, and he came to an orphanage. And he thought, you know what? I'm gonna leave that baseball bat at the orphanage. And hopefully maybe some orphans will get the same joy out of it that I got when I was a kid. Now you might think, Brendan, well, that's a, you know, great story, but that's not very mysterious. You know, what's the mystery behind that? Well, let me tell you, the story continues on, because that bat was found, and that bat was given to a little orphan who was living in that orphanage. And that orphan, he became obsessed with baseball, and at any opportunity he had spare time, he would be found out in the yard hitting this ball and this, oh, they've got another ball, but hitting his baseball bat and hitting a ball around, he'd play with anyone. And in fact, he became quite good at baseball. And you know, when he was 17 or 18, he got recruited by the Yankees. Many of you might know who I'm talking about, Babe Ruth, one of the greatest baseball players to this day, got given a baseball bat at an orphanage door. So really, there's mystery all around us. What a story. And you know, there's also the mystery of Jesus being born in a stable. And not just a mystery, but the changing, life-changing story that goes along with it. You know, I mean, think about it for a second. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? An all-knowing, an all-creating, an all-powerful God chose to come to earth as a human. You know, it's mind-blowing, the God who created us, the God who created the stars and the moons, the God who created the meadow, the mountains, the streams, he chose to be born and come into earth through a teenager girl. Talk about a mystery. Here it is. It happened over 2,000 years ago, and the mystery still catches us today, doesn't it? Because we're still talking about the greatest mystery that's ever been. The mystery of Jesus, the Son of God, coming to earth. I want to read with you a story, and we've had it acted out, we've had it sung about this morning, but if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke 2, 4-16. And this great mystery, this great story. And it's going to be up on your screens if you want to follow. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to register with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel of multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who He favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So without haste, they found Mary and Joseph lying in a manger. If that story doesn't blow you away, I don't know what does. The mystery of Jesus, of God coming to earth. You know, I've just touched on some of the story. If you're familiar with the story, you'll know the rest of it. You know, a teenage girl, a virgin getting pregnant. A star appears in the sky. The wise men follow the star. Not knowing where they're going, they're just following the star. It leads them to Jesus, and they present gifts to Jesus. And the wise men are told to go home another way on their way home. Mary and Joseph are told to escape Bethlehem and head to Egypt. It's an amazing, mysterious story, the birth of Jesus. You know, out of this story, there's three things that just jump out to me and three things I want to just drive home this morning. First of all, we see a God who is in control, don't we? We see a God who has a plan. And we see a God who can be trusted. You know, if I think of a God who is in control, I think of Luke 22 comes to mind, 26. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Life is so much more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you can, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life?" Here is a God who is in control. He's in control of this world that we see. You know, when I see the next one, I see a God that has a plan. I think of Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, Brendan. I know the plans I have for you, Annabelle, for Stuart, for Sharon, for Tara. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope, to give you a future." You know, and as I think of a God that can be trusted, two verses come to mind. Psalm 37, verse 5. "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust Him, and He will act." God will act. And I think of Jeremiah 17:7. "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and who finds confidence in Him." You know, the good news? God is just waiting for you to trust Him so that He can guide you. So this Christmas, which one of those do you need to rehear? Do you need to rehear that there's a God that is in control? Do you need to rehear that God has a plan for your life, even though when right now maybe you feel like it's in chaos? Or do you need to hear this Christmas that there's a God that can be trusted? You might say, Brendan, I've got all that covered. I don't need that this Christmas, Brendan. I'm feeling okay about Christmas. My question to you then, is there someone in your world who needs to hear that this Christmas? Do you have a neighbour? Do you have a work colleague? A family member who needs to know that this Christmas? They need to know that God is in control. They need to know that God has a plan for them, no matter how crazy their life might look at the moment. They need to know that there is a God that can be trusted. Neighbours, work colleagues, friends, families, they need to hear the good news that God is in control, God has a plan, and God can be trusted.